Mark Gilbert from Amagansett. This is the Rorschach, Georgia update from the 14th of August, 2025. Quick summary of what's going down in Georgia. Wednesday the 13th, websites of 22 independent media outlets went offline for several hours. Their readers presumed it was an organized attack against online media, but it turned out to be a symbolic gesture by the journalists themselves. Organizers wanted to show what happens when independent voices disappear and the public loses access to unbiased information. Symbolic Blackout launched the campaign, "The Lights Must Not Go Out." Media groups created a single online platform where supporters can donate to all 22 outlets through one account. Campaign aims to show their unity, the threat they face from a repressive environment, and the public's role in keeping them alive. The donations will go towards sustaining Georgia's independent online press. Link in the show notes. If you care about Georgia, this is a really, really great way you can help. Georgia's competition agency fined four pharmaceutical companies 560,000 lari, over 200,000 U.S. dollars, after the health ministry reported they were hiking medicine prices by 1,000% to 3,000% over import costs. The agency's investigation showed these companies weren't just charging high prices, they included personal and unrelated expenses in the cost of medicines, which means they added things like luxury gifts, gold jewelry, tickets to cultural events, fancy conferences, cosmetics and dental treatments, even maintenance of expensive cars to justify the huge price jump. Customers ended by paying for the company's lavish spending instead of just the actual medicine. Officials told the companies to change their pricing approach. This is obviously horrible that they would do this, but it's also interesting. Did the company break the law, or is the competition agency providing useful guidance or threats to private business? Normally, one would think that competition would take care of this. We're talking about the competition agency, after all. In an update to a story from our previous show last week, we mentioned that Mzia Makhlobeli, founder of media outlet Batumalevi and Net Gazeti, was sentenced to 2 years on charges of resisting a police officer. She was initially charged with assaulting one, which carries penalties of up to 6 years in prison. On Thursday the 7th, Edite Estrela and Sabina Kudic, Council of Europe's Parliamentary Assembly co-rapporteurs for Georgia, condemned the court's decision, saying it was politically motivated and served to silence independent media, which was the whole idea. They called for Mzia's immediate release and reminded Georgia's ruling party that freedom of expression and assembly are part of Georgia's membership commitments. In more updates, last week we reported that Russia declared an international search for Aliko Elisashvili, an opposition leader and member of the coalition Strong Georgia, or Lelo Zlieri, for fighting on Ukraine's side 2 years ago. Elisashvili is currently in Georgia and is one of the candidates the opposition considers for the Tbilisi mayoral election, which is part of the municipal election set for the 4th of October. On Friday the 8th, a journalist asked Prime Minister Irakli Kobakhidze whether Elisashvili was in any danger from Russian authorities. Kobakhidze said that the ruling party has a responsibility to defend every citizen despite what they might think about them. Well, not for Mzia Makhlobeli and the many other people in jail on political charges, but that didn't come up during the press conference. Speaking of the Tbilisi mayor's election on Monday, the 11th, the far-right party Conservatives for Georgia, known for organizing violent protests against LGBTQ plus groups that led to a journalist's death, nominated Zura Makharadze, their leader and its most well-known face, as candidate for Tbilisi mayor. The party openly backs closer ties with Russia and the Kremlin, takes a strong anti-Western stance. They say their electoral campaign will focus on real issues like mass migration and Georgia's worsening demographic crisis caused by low birth rate and shrinking population, instead of political fights between major parties. They plan to push laws providing large families with land and create programs that boost population growth. In related news, on Saturday the 9th, the Central Election Commission announced that the United National Movement, or NACEBI, and the Coalition for Change, or Tavi Suplevistuis, lost their electoral numbers. Gogi Kalandarishvili, chair of the commission, said both parties asked to keep their numbers, but did not officially apply to take part in the elections. Because of that, their numbers became available for other parties and were granted to two virtually unknown parties who plan to participate in the municipal elections, both, of course, paid for by the government, of course. Electoral numbers are a big deal in Georgia, especially for the NACEBI, which has been associated with the number 5 for more than 2 decades. This really shows how afraid the KOTSEBI are of the opposition in Tbilisi. Next up, on Thursday, the 7th anniversary of the Russian-Georgian War, which killed hundreds, led to the Russian army and their local proxies forcing 150,000 people from their homes and out of South Ossetia, and led to the occupation of Georgian territories in Abkhazia and South Ossetia, as well as Russia recognizing them as an independent state. Speaking of the war, during the anniversary, Prime Minister Kobakhidze said that the blame lay on former President Misha Saakashvili, who is currently in prison. Parroting Russian narratives, Kobakhidze said that Georgia was the one that triggered the escalation of the conflict. While he spoke about the bravery of Georgian soldiers who lost their lives during the brief conflict, he said the war was a disastrous, deep state-backed betrayal of the Georgian people carried out by Saakashvili's regime. Okay. Well, on the topic of the Kremlin-sponsored Hearts and Minds work in Georgia, the Gorchakov Foundation is inviting Georgian citizens to join for free, we say with air quotes, internship programs in Russia. On Tuesday the 12th, the Russian interest section from the Swiss embassy in Georgia announced opportunities on Facebook in both Georgian and Russian. Internships cover medicine, nuclear technology, international relations, and espionage. Oh, just kidding. Offering young professionals practical experience and a chance to build professional networks free of charge. Though it operates as an NGO, Ukrainian researchers said the foundation remains tightly controlled by the Kremlin, with half its budget coming from federal funds and the rest from undisclosed Russian oligarchs. On Wednesday the 13th, U.S. State Department released its 2024 Human Rights Report on Georgia. It lists as major negative events the adoption of the Foreign Agents Law, which restricts freedom of speech, Law for the Protection of Family Values and Minors, which does the opposite and restricts the freedom of expression of the LGBTQ plus community, and censors related topics. The report also mentions campaigns of intimidation, coercion, and misuse of state resources during last year's parliamentary elections. The report documents police and unidentified attackers assaulting journalists at the April through May and November through December protests, using pepper spray, tear gas, and water cannons, causing broken spines, facial fractures, and chemical burns. Over 30 attacks occurred on Election Day alone without any follow-up or investigation by authorities. On Thursday the 7th, Grigol Gegelia, one of the leaders of Zlieri Lelo, had an altercation with several pro-European demonstrators. The incident happened in front of Parliament, where protests had been held for over 250 consecutive days when people were celebrating the release of Gheorghe Akhobadze, one of the political prisoners. Many protesters see the decision of Lelo Zlieri to participate in the municipal elections as a betrayal and complicity with the Georgian Dream, or Kotsebi. This showed when several mass protesters started acting aggressively towards Gegelia, insulting him, telling him mockingly that they should leave and prepare for the election. Other protesters tried to de-escalate the situation and help Gegelia leave the scene. Gegelia later said that the incident was not serious and everyone should focus on the true enemy of the people, the Kotsebi. Video of the incident is in the show notes. In other news, a conflict in Gori, a city west of Tbilisi, escalated to the point where special forces had to intervene. On Saturday the 9th, a man shot and wounded a couple of young men, then barricaded himself inside an apartment building. Police attempted to enter but retreated when the suspect opened fire, and special forces were called in and eventually arrested him. Authorities say the conflict began the day before when the suspect physically assaulted a local resident. Later, both sides, now joined by reinforcements, met again to settle the dispute. Confrontation quickly turned into a brawl, during which the shooter opened fire, injuring two people. Police later arrested six individuals from both sides. On Saturday the 9th, S&P Global Rankings, one of the world's top credit rating agencies, kept Georgia's sovereign credit rating at BB with a stable outlook, which means the country's economy is steady, at least according to S&P. They highlighted Georgia's low government debt, rising foreign currency reserves, helped by so-called tourism and incoming remittances, and a strong, well-funded banking system. Central Bank also got credit for reducing dollarization. Overall, S&P sees Georgia on a steady path with room to grow and a good buffer against surprises. They didn't seem worried about the central bank no longer being independent or harassment of commercial banking owners and staff who were not obedient to the government. And that's it for this week. Thanks for joining us. Next 10 days or so, we will release something cool, different from the normal updates that everybody will want to hear, Georgian speakers and otherwise, particularly those who habitually use naughty words. Afandis.